Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, Eric Andrew Sinati. Eric A. Sinati. Who?
Eric Sinati, of course.
Right here on your FM dial, on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and whatever, XM, and local cable networks, whatever you are. We are at more than 2,200 stations in 54 countries and growing. I am your host, Eric A. Sinati, and you're right here on the Hostile Zone because you want somebody to pull back that curtain and give you a no-nonsense, full assessment of current events. So, I'm accompanied by the on-air vocalist, Miss Bianca C. S-C-A, like the ocean. Welcome back. From your, what do you want to call a project, hiatus on a project? What were you working on?
Bianca C, that's me.
Oh, that was so lovely.
I was so missing doing that.
You didn't think about it once. Who were you kidding?
Think about it once. A lot of sleepless nights with my project that was going on. And, you know, there's a couple of new songs been in the recording studio. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Since it's your first day back, we're going to open up with a song right from you. Can we take it to Bianca Cam?
Oh,
thank
sure.
you. We're going to Bianca Cam here. All right, Miss Bianca, what are you going to be doing?
I will be singing I Have Nothing by Whitney Houston.
Wonderful. Do your thing.
Thank you. All right.
Very much further. I don't want to have to go where you don't follow. I won't hold it back again. This passion aside, can't run from myself. There's nowhere to hide. Your love I remember forever. Don't make me close one more door. I don't wanna hurt anymore. Stay in my arms if you dare. Must I imagine you there? Don't walk away from me. I have nothing, nothing, nothing.
Another song, or actually, let's get into let's get into the show, and I'll give you another song after.
Whatever we you guys will get like.
Yeah, I need to get. Let's bring that back to Team Cam. Thank you. All right, good job. Thank you, guys. All right, so welcome to the show, The Hostile Zone, where we call a spade, mm-hmm. and I pull back that curtain. Today, if you look at the bottom of your ticker, if you're watching the show, I thank you very much because we, Bianca and myself, are nothing without you.
Yes.
Because you tune in every show, and our numbers are where they are, and our sponsorships are growing, and we thank you for all that you have provided us. On the ticker, you can see the topic for today, but also, if you want to get me at the show, it's thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com, thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com, Eric Sinati at bbstalkradio.com, Bianca C-S-E-A, like the ocean, at bbstalkradio.com, and you can always get me at eric@ericandrewsinati.com. So with that
That's
said,
a lot of Eric Sinatis right there.
A lot of Eric Sinatis. Well, you know it is. I am the main host of the show, right? You're the vocal.
Yes.
You're the vocal host of the show.
Well, I'm the beauty of the show.
You're the beauty of the show, right? All right. So if you're looking at the ticker, there's all the contact information and also the topic for today. But we're not gonna get into specific stuff. So Good evening, everyone.
What about my part with the number?
No, we're getting way too many texts. We'll hold that off.
Oh.
I can't keep up with the email. Oh. If you're emailing in and you're doing texts, I can't. We're having a hard time keeping up with it.
I can't do that number jingle.
No, don't do it. Don't.
No jingle jangle.
So, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Hostile Zone. Yet another exciting night. We're addressing one of the most pressing issues that are facing New York City as we speak: mm-hmm. the ongoing migrant crisis. With over 100,000 asylum seekers arriving in the city over the past year, the strain on resources and shelter capacity and the public services is unprecedented. This has not been seen ever. And can New York City, can the United States withstand? Can we handle this moving forward? This is what we have to question. Oof. This crisis has far-reaching implications further than New York City, folks. Okay? As your humble correspondent, I'm telling you, it reaches far beyond the boundaries of New York City. Okay? This affects everybody across the board because jobs, people work remote. We are a digital nation in the year 2024. So your geographical location, folks, is not as imperative as it was in 1950. So when there is a significant uprise in any location in the United States, it does affect services, the job market, and all kinds of stuff. We have to look at that. This has implications for the infrastructure of New York City. Think about the infrastructure. When we're talking infrastructure, Ms. Bianca, we're talking about places for people to sleep. All right. So we have people in five-star hotels.
I was just going to say, I'm like, wow.
Five-star hotels that are migrants. And listen, don't bot and troll me. I'm not saying that they're bad, terrible people or anything like that. But we have veterans in our country.
That are
we have
homeless.
Citizens. We have citizens. And we have veterans and other people in our country that are Americans, especially veterans that served our nation that are homeless on the street. And we're giving five-star accommodations and sometimes, not everybody, some shelters, but there are some five-star hotels, three, four, five-star hotels that are giving not free room and board. We're paying for it out of tax dollars.
Wow.
Number two, infrastructure. What about the sewage systems? What about the water systems? What about garbage pickup? Garbage pickup, water delivery, sewage treatment, sewage removing waste from flushing toilets. So all of that is infrastructure. The political landscape is changing. They're talking about continuous. There's no voter ID law, folks. That's a whole other conversation for another day. But there's no voter ID law right now. So
wow.
John Q. Public could be anybody. So anybody could walk in and vote. And they're not checking ID because apparently some people find that to be discriminatory. So I don't know. I go to a bar.
Well,
they want to check ID,
if you
right?
Check my ID. Check my ID.
But you go to a bar and they want to check your ID to buy a drink.
Yeah.
You want to buy cigarettes or if you can buy Delta 8, Delta 9, THC.
I hope that they check my ID because then I'd be like, oh,
I don't mind.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I'm still
right. You
still.
It's the makeup, folks.
Young.
It's the makeup. Thank you to the makeup crew. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm
like
just kidding.
I still got it.
But realistically, though, yes. Is that all of this stuff is going on, and we have to look at what are we paying for, who is paying for it, and can we withstand that? I mean, withstand. Oops, typo. Folks, by the way, I'm having a major allergy attack today. So if you see me sniffling or stumbling my words,
today.
My nose is. I don't know what's going on.
Aww.
You know what? We're in the studio and they shampooed. The floors and carpets, and it's been a terrible day. Anyway, so if you see that, that's what it is. But the infrastructure is far more. What about the kids that are going to be showing up at schools? Are they paying taxes? Well, I know when you live in a jurisdiction, a part of your taxes goes towards the school system. Well, if you're here illegally, undocumented, whatever we want to call it now, because we have to be politically correct, whatever you want to call it, they're here illegally, legally, whatever, and they use our school system, then somebody has to pay for that. Because that teacher, as a professor myself, when I teach college class, based on what the class is, if it's, most of my classes are 30 to 35 students, unless if it's like one of the gen ed classes, then I have double rows of students. But my basic like criminology class would be 30 to 35. And that's a professor, I'm speaking professorially. However, the purpose of what I'm trying to say is that I'm not allowed to exceed 35 based on my union contract. And if they do, then they have to pay me more. Now, I sign waivers sometimes for students that I know, and I know that are good students and are not going to give a hard time to me, and I'll give up that money. I do it all the time. There's plenty of students that can attest to that they were number 36 and number 36 serving, and they went to sign up for a class, and they're like, I can't get into Sonati's class. No worries. They come to me with a form, and I sign it and say, I waive it. But I can only waive up to three or four, and then the university says no.
Oh, wow.
But I do get to do that. But the public school system for, K through 8, K through 12, those teachers are unionized, and they have contracts, and there's rules on how many teachers, percentage ratio, teachers to the point of that, saying? So
I feel bad about the teachers, now they're going to be overwhelmed. Because they can't reach every student when they're
right.
Teaching them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, that's going to be so much. But you know what? For this, I feel like the teacher should get paid more, especially having a class increased. Hopefully that'll happen. But everybody has a different way of learning,
right.
And I hope that teacher will get through everyone.
Right. And that's the thing. It's the infrastructure that we're worried about. you know, we're on a little deadline tonight on tonight's show. Just so you know, there was tech issues, not actually on the Hostile Zone side or on the network side. There's been, as everybody knows, there's been all kinds of internet issues with Windows and CrowdStrike.
Don't forget the airport, cancellations.
We are still catching up from that.
Yeah.
But I want to throw our relevant quote in for the day, too, because that's very important. To test our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of who have much. It is whether we provide enough for who have too little. Okay, let me say it again. The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. No, that's not what it is. It is whether we provide enough for those who do have little, who do not have enough. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Franklin, very important point. So, like again, we are running on a close time frame here. Continue on, but we are on a time frame. New York City has seen an influx of over 100,000 immigrant asylum seekers in the past year. Mm. That's a tremendous number. If you think around the country, the amount of people in a town, how many towns do you live in across America have 100,000 people?
Not many.
I know in my town in New Jersey, we were one of the largest, and we had about 50 to 60,000 registered voters. So maybe we had 100,000 people or a little less. So, and that was like the number two or number one city in Bergen County, New Jersey, right? So 100,000 asylum seekers that are now pulling on our system is a large number. And I want you to compare that to where we are. Okay. With that, Miss Bianca, let's give you a song.
All right. Let's see. I will be singing Blue Bayou by Linda Ronstadt. Yes.
Fishing boats with the sails afloat.
Wow, Miss Bianca. You just blow that away every time.
Oh, thank you.
Always
thank you.
Unbelievable. Always wonderful job, Miss Bianca. What can I say? What can I say? They just love you.
Oh,
you. So really good. My ears coming up with some applause.
I love this song. It's part of the singing idols that I like, Linda Ronstadt.
She is
fabulous, fabulous.
Yeah, there are so many, many fabulous people. So, okay, so we're back into it. So, yeah, we're talking about this. This is an issue that should be every American should be thinking about. We are in an election season. I don't know if we really want to steer this into the election. But it is something that we need to be cognizant of as Americans, as taxpayers, because this is our country, and our country is being influxed by people who, I ask, what are they bringing to the table? When you enter a relationship with somebody, you're going to marry somebody, you're going to get into a whatever, everybody brings something to the table. When you go for a job and you interview for a job, I bring something to the job, yeah, and the job offers me something. If I'm going to marry somebody, I bring something to the table for my potential spouse, and my spouse brings something to me, and together we are stronger and we get a goal. So I ask you, America, I ask you folks out there, what are these asylum-seeking migrants bringing to America that's helping us, other than we're now giving them health care? We're providing them with food. We're providing them with shelter. We're providing them with education for their children. We're providing them, did I say healthcare? No, we didn't say healthcare yet. We're giving them healthcare. Mm. We have Americans that can't afford healthcare. We have Americans without insurance right now. We have people that will not go to the doctor because they can't. So you get I just don't get it. You get to cross the border illegally. You're coming to the great land of America, where it is the best nation in the world.
Well, they're coming for the American dream.
People badmouth America so much. They badmouth America so much, but you have to laugh because people have something to say, especially people here that are out there. You know who you are.
Oh, I dislike those people that say, hey, I don't like, especially like burning the flag or disrespecting our country.
Disrespectful.
And they would just say out of nowhere, one day, I'm going to move out.
How about the ones that were going to move when Trump was elected? How come they're still here?
I don't know what I'm saying, right?
There's my allergy.
Oh.
So the point is that you have people that are complaining about America here in America who are citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They're burning our own flag. They're raising the Palestinian flag. Mm. I mean, what is wrong with people? They're burning our flag and raising a flag of a foreign nation. Go do that in North Korea. Go do that in Iran.
I'll tell you what.
Here's the Sanati challenge. I will purchase you a premium, nice, really good quality, nice, good, nice, you know, hand. God bless you.
I think you're spreading it on me now.
a nice knitted, nice, proper American flag with the nice O-rings. So it can be hung. I will purchase it for you. And the show will pay for your airline ticket if you're willing to fly to Iran and you go on film on our show and you attempt to take down an Iranian flag and fly the American flag. If you want to do that, it's the hostile zone at bbstalkradio.com. It's right on the ticker of your screen.
Yeah.
Or Eric Sanati at bbstalkradio.com or eric@ericandrewsanati.com. Reach out to the show or call into the show and let them know that you want to take the Sanati flag challenge. I want you to fly, and it doesn't even have to be Iran. We can discuss what country you think you're going to go to with the flag that the show is going to purchase for them, and it's a nice flag. We're going to get you a nice flag, not some garbage Walmart flag that's nylon, you know, for outside. We're going to get you a real flag. You know, the stitch kind. Yeah,
oh,
that they
I
make in New
those.
Jersey, the one that they make in Bergen County,
yes, yes,
that they make a lot of the flags. That kind that where you rub it and you have clothes on, the red bleeds. Because the red stands for the blood that bleeds. The flag bleeds. It drips red when you rub it on your white gloves. Having served on the honor guard in the military, when I fold the flag, all my gloves have white and blue marks on it. because just touching the flag, the blood bleeds onto my gloves.
Yeah, that's kind of like slightly pink.
But I mean, but they're red.
Yeah.
So the point is, the Sanati challenge, if you are that guy or that girl that think it's acceptable to take down our flag in the United States and burn it and fly a flag for Palestine, Israel, wherever you want to fly a flag for, if you think that that's acceptable, because we have free speech in America, the First Amendment in the Constitution, if you feel that is who you are, then we, your humble correspondent and our show, we will buy you a wonderful American-made flag, and we will assist you financially in getting to the country. But you must be on our show when you do it, on a live. You must take down that foreign country flag and fly our American flag in that country. When you do that, we will pay for it all, and we will air it live on TV and radio. I know nobody will take me up on that challenge. Because you'd be a fool if you did, if you showed up in Iran with an American flag and tried to take down their flag. If you showed up in North Korea and tried to take down Kim Jong-un's flag, or you showed up in Russia and tried to take down a Russian flag and fly an American flag and burn the Russian flag, I don't think we're ever going to see you on the show. And I think if you did do it, and I had you on a live link with the show, I don't think we could ever air that episode, because the consequences you would pay would get me FCC violations across the board, and I wouldn't be able to air it. There's my challenge. Moving forward. You like that challenge? Do you think that there will be one idiot that'll accept it?
No, because I think
there's one idiot.
I think an idiot
there's always one.
Interpret it.
There's always one.
And go far for it. So, you know.
There's always one person that's stupid.
If that happens, they're going to blame you.
Hey, I'll take the blame. I take the blame for everything.
Stop.
People love to lie about me anyway. I mean, come on. Let's be real. Compliments to Brunswick County. You created the show.
Don't take that challenge.
Thank you, because we have a syndicated talk show because of you. I thank you. You've done wonderful. With that, I don't care. If you want to take the Sanati challenge right here on iHeartRadio, you're listening to us right on iHeartRadio, not on YouTube. We're not on iHeartRadio or on Spotify or wherever else you're enjoying us, or on your TV screen, wherever you might be watching us. If you want to take that challenge and you're stupid enough, I'll buy you the flag. I'm not going to help you hang it. I'm not going to commit the crime, if it's a crime or whatever they call it in that country. I'm not going to do it for you, but I'll buy the flag. If you're that stupid, I'll buy you the flag, because you deserve it. You're a moron. Because you know what? Everybody knows no one's going to do that. Everybody knows this is a rhetorical statement out here. Everybody knows that it's not going to happen, because nobody's that stupid. Because you know, if you show up in North Korea and you take their flag down, and you burn it and fly the American flag, you're never coming back to America. End of story. You do it in Russia, you're not coming back.
Actually, like they do, they put them in jail or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it is what it is.
There is laws against that. So, like, that's why it's always great to be in this country, because,
well, you know what's fascinating?
You know, there is freedom of speech, and you don't have to get arrested for the freedom of speech.
As long as you don't create a public disturbance.
Right.
Like screaming fire. See, now here's the thing. You made a very, very intellectual statement, Ms. Bianca.
You.
And I'm going to back up a little bit and then come back to your statement, okay?
Okay.
I was saying that previously, burning an American flag or throwing it on the ground and stepping on it and stuff was a crime. Do you know that making American flag shirts and shorts and stuff was a crime?
That was a crime, yes.
Because you were decimating our flag.
But then
somebody sued. Uh-huh. Somebody sued, and it went to court. And they said, well, we have a freedom of speech, so you can burn the flag and whatever. That's what makes America great. So what you just said, repeat what you just said.
Well, you know, like I said before, if you were somewhere else, you would be in jail if you disrespected or burned the flag
in public. There it is. That's where I was going.
Yes.
We used to have that law. Now, you know what? Congress is revisiting bringing that back.
Mm.
Now, see, since it was overruled by a court, they are figuring a new way to rewrite it.
It is so hard, because if you disrespect the flag by burning it, then yes, that's wrong. But if I want to wear a flag dress or
that's
a
patriotic,
or something,
right?
That's
if you're not wearing it like a fool, like,
don't take away my patriotic.
Right.
I mean, I have high heels that have the American flag on it. I don't want to go to jail for that.
But here's the thing, you know what, Ms. Bianca? This is a wonderful conversation.
Okay.
Because you know what, some people believe that that's bad, but Others believe it's not. Here's the thing. It's how you represent what you're wearing. It's the representation on how you're wearing it. I have a wonderful American flag tie that I wear on holidays. You know. Mm-hmm. I have my American flag shirt with the Declaration of Independence written on it.
Yes.
I would never wear that to a protest.
Right, right.
I would never, ever wear that. Firstly, I got to be honest. I've never been to a real protest.
I would.
Because I don't
either.
Believe in it.
I don't.
You know what the protest to me is? The pen here, my favorite Abraham Lincoln pen. Right there,
sword.
Folks. It made out of wood right from Ford's Theater.
Yes.
We lost light. Great. So
let there be light.
Yeah, let there be light. anyway, so this
don't
pen
worry,
made out of wood
still,
of Ford's Theater.
You're still going to be light as
that's
there
all
is.
Right.
So Ford's Theater, that's
so
pen?
The pen is mightier than the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I don't need to go to protest. You know when I protest in the voting ballot? Letters to my elected
that's
officials.
Right.
I've served in office. I've made decisions for the public. That's how I affect change. I don't need to go and rally and wear a shirt and hold a sign up. Not to say that's bad for other people. That's not how I do it. And you know what? If I go in and there's an idiot that I don't want to vote for, I'll give, for instance, at one point I was a voter in Brunswick County, North Carolina. I'm no longer a voter there. That doesn't exist anymore. However, there was a clown by the name of John Ingram V. John Ingram V was running for sheriff. He's a clown. He's a clown and a criminal. And just don't get me started. All right. Well, when we went into the voting booth, my family, I didn't want to vote for somebody else that was up. Or actually, I think he was running uncontested. So everybody I went with, 10 people, voted for me or Mickey Mouse. We voted for me, Mickey Mouse. I wrote other people wrote in fictitious members because, you know what, thank God he's no longer in office. Thank you. Bye-bye, John. Bye-bye, John. Bye-bye, John. Bye-bye. On iHeartRadio, 54 countries, 2,200 stations. We're all saying goodbye to you. Bye-bye. So anyway, so, all right, so we're on with that. So the fact is that you can protest and you can...
Yes.
You can protest and you can have your... It's like a haunting in here.
I know. I think it's always on that side,
right?
I noticed.
Did I make Abraham Lincoln angry again?
Oh, boy.
So anyway, it's okay to protest, but you have to do it respectfully. Yeah. So that's why I was saying you made a very good statement, because you were saying it should be, and it used to be, but then they took it back saying free speech.
Right.
But free speech has a level. That's what I was saying
to
you.
It does.
It has a level. At what point, when your free speech impedes your free speech, it's no longer free speech.
Really? How so?
It's now inciting a riot. It's a terroristic threat. It's harassment. Right?
There is fine
when
line
it's
from
unwanted,
that, yes.
When it's not, or, and also people, when you're going to assemble in public, it is in the First Amendment, the right to free speech, the right to religion, the right to the press. We're members of the press. We are members of the press union. We're union members, member of the press. I'm a credentialed member of the press. So First Amendment, press, religion, freedom of speech, and the right to assemble, right? That's the right to assemble, to congregate as a group, to protest. Now, there's a caveat to that, though. You can't just show up everywhere with a crowd of people and protest. You have to go through the permit process so they can have proper security. They can detour traffic. Your job, like setting these protests up where they block lanes of traffic, is irresponsible. It's screwing other people's lives up. You're interfering with the daily life of John Q. Public. You're not making a statement. You're making a fool of yourself.
And that's selfish as well, too.
It is. Because people have families to feed.
People.
People have families to feed. People have jobs to get to. Maybe there's somebody in the car that has to get to the hospital, chemo treatment for cancer. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But you stopped them from getting to where they were going. That's not a protest.
Or
that
if
does
a person
not,
is late from their job, you just cost them.
Cost them
their
or
family.
Their job. They might even lose their job.
Yeah.
I mean, some employers don't have to care that you're late because you sat in a protest. Because you know what they would say? You should have planned. You should always plan with a 15-minute or 30-minute cushion.
Mm-hmm.
Come to work early and have your coffee. Don't plan to show up. If you're going to work, don't budget your time to show up 5 minutes of or on time. Because if you're on time, you're late. I know that was a military
either
thing.
Either way,
if you're not
those type of people that block the road, I think you're selfish, to be honest.
Well, in the military, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. So showing up on time, you're late.
Yes.
Nobody should be showing up when you're in formation. You're lined up in the military. In a job, if you're showing up the second your time punches in, you're late. Because you should be at your desk already with the computer on, a couple sips of your coffee, ready to go. So, again, these protesters are hurting people that are not very timely. And people that don't show up 15 minutes early. Mm-hmm. People that are not at that ability to get themselves set like that. Mm-hmm. So what's the we got issues here because the border across, they're coming across the north, but not nearly what they're doing on the southern border. We're dealing with Central America. We have a lot of Caribbean people showing up. We have a lot of Chinese men of military age showing up at the border. Military age men from China. That's for another show, but we also know that China has been attempting to buy property around military bases.
Wow.
We know this.
Really?
We know that some states are stopping that, but some purchases have already been made. How this happened, I don't know. Maybe we should ask the Biden administration and maybe even the Trump administration prior. I don't know how much property was sold. That's not the topic of today's show, but it's just a conversational piece. Now, what is the city? What?
Very interesting.
It's an interesting thought. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking that it's Mexicans and people from Ecuador and these other places coming up. And there are some needy people coming across the border. Mm-hmm. And some of these people bring things to us that we need. Not going to lie. I mean, there's no doubt about it. On another note, I do want to put out, it's not part of today's show, Elon Musk has said he is moving SpaceX out of California.
Really?
And he's bringing it to Texas because of the transsexual law in California. Maybe we can cover that on another episode.
Oh, wow.
But Governor Gavin Newsom has some kind of law and order in there for trans and I guess this DEI concept, you know, of diversity, equality, and inclusion, DEI. And they're kind of, I guess Elon feels that he's being forced to hire trans people when, honestly, folks, I don't care what you are.
Yeah.
Honestly, I tell everybody, I'm Italian, Catholic. I went to Catholic school. Sister Mary, thank you. You did a good job. You smacked me around. All right. It is what it is. But whatever you are, that's fine with me. I don't care what your orientation is. I don't care what your political affiliation is.
Right,
if you're a human being. But when you're dealing with jobs in national security, just look at the Secret Service. Was the director of the Secret Service a DEI hire? What was her experience? She resigned. And somebody shot at the former president, potentially the next president, likely the next president. Former president, currently the nominee, not the front runner, the Republican nominee, leading the Democratic nominee. So more in legal terms, putting the lawyer hat on, more than likely than not, President Trump is going to win the election. So this individual got within range of a former president and a potentially seated new 47th president and was able to pop off shots at him. Hmm. The woman that was in charge of the agency was a friend of Joe Biden's. And trust me, I have been in government and politics my entire life. Let me just be very clear.
Okay.
It's called the spoils system. It's been going on for a year. Political patronage. It comes from the spoils system. It's a whole, I don't want to go fall into a sea hole. But that's the program. You know, I have a master of public administration. I studied this garbage. Most people, it's the spoils system, political appointments. I understand that. I've been political appointment before myself several times. I understand that. But at least be able to do the job.
Right.
At least hold the qualifications for the job. I'm not bad-mouthing this woman by any means. I think personally, I feel bad for her. I think she might be the fall guy, fall woman, whatever you want to call
it. Can I say something?
Yes, absolutely.
With any type of job that it is, I really don't care what you are or who you are. That's your personal business. But as long as you could have the qualifications and you can do the job, then that's
And I was going to piggyback. Let me piggyback. Right. That's where I was going. You beat me there, but you helped me. You kind of brought me, you roped me in from a sea hole. Thank you.
Ooh.
So So you folks, you can see, if you watch the last couple episodes, it's a much better episode when Bianca's on the show. I'm sure we'll get better emails this week.
Thank you.
You're back from your project. So anyway, what I was going to say was, when you have jobs of national security, when you're sending rockets to space, rockets, rocket fuel, explosions, people in there, things going to the internet.
Rocket Man.
Rocket Man, right? Remember Trump saying that? Yeah. I played that for a ride. So when you're dealing with things of that, I mean, you need an engineer. Mm-hmm. You need scientists. You need mathematicians, chemists, all of these people. I don't care what color you are. You could have no arm. Look at Hawking's, right?
Hawking's,
right? He was in the wheelchair. He could only move his mouth and to move the screen. One of the smartest men to ever be on Earth. He couldn't walk. He couldn't move his body. He was a paraplegic. But he solved some of the things that we could never, ever dream of solving.
Right. The wonders of the world. And
sadly, we don't have him around anymore because he knew so much. He was able to provide us with so much, and the world misses him. We need more like him. We have Elon Musk now. Elon Musk is the forefront of so much. Elon Musk said, I'm not going to be forced to hire somebody in a position to do something that is such of a high level, and I'm going to be forced to take somebody under these DEI rules, diversity, equality, and inclusion.
What if the person doesn't know how to do the job?
And the Secret Service director was not even, prior to that, an agent. She might have been at one point, but she was not doing that. I believe she worked for Pepsi Cola.
Pepsi.
I believe that's what she did. Bop me if I'm wrong. I don't know the exact number on it. But anyway, so New York is dealing with this major crisis, right? So Mayor Eric Adams, who might I add, is a Democrat. He has been soft on a lot of things. I think maybe he's making a reversal. A lot of people are forgetting the FBI raided his office.
Really?
And took all his electronic devices. Oh. We haven't heard anything on that. Food for thought. I'm not bringing up dirt on somebody. I don't really care. I don't believe he did anything. I hope he didn't. But
I hope his pictures were private.
I hope he did too, right? But you know what? Fact be told, mm-hmm. They did raid him and take his electronic devices, and we haven't heard. It hasn't been talked about. Mm. Now, if it was Trump, you probably would hear about it in the news every day. But that's not the topic of the show. So Mayor Eric Adams has allocated emergency funds to set up these shelters. Where were these emergency funds when you see a veteran on the side of the road with his dog holding up a sign, "We'll work for food"? Where are those funds? Where are those funds? Right?
Or even this. What about battered women?
Battered women shelters. Thank you. Women have to hide.
Yeah.
They have to go out and try to create new identities because abusers hunt them down and never leave them alone forever.
Right.
I mean, and they're on the street. I mean, come on. Let's be real. So the governor of New York is collaborating with federal agencies to receive additional support. The Biden administration apparently is working with the governor. Now, what are they specifically doing? Regardless, folks, it's tax money. Okay? And again, I don't want to sound callous. I'm not saying these people don't deserve help. I'm compassionate. I understand that. People deserve help.
Right.
But you need to ask for it properly. And you can't just take help. You know, I'm not getting biblical here. I'm not. I don't go biblical. But there's a famous quote, and I use it a lot. And it's in the Bible, but I'm not being religious. Give a man a fish, and he eats for today. And then he comes back tomorrow asking you for another fish. Give him a rod and reel, and teach him how to fish. And he eats for a lifetime, and so does his family and his next generation, because he teaches his son and his daughter and so on and so forth. Maybe that's what we need to be doing. Not handing out. They were giving out credit cards like EBD, like the food stamp cards that had more money loaded on them than people who were getting food stamps. They were getting food stamps plus a stipend on top. How is that even fair? Emergency shelters are reaching their capacity. They're straining the system. Who's working in these places? Where are they getting their supplies? Where are they finding these places? And then let's think about this. The shelters that they're using now, Bianca, whether it be schools, they took away a park in one location in New York City that children played all the time soccer on, and they made a shelter out of it. Wow. Where do those children play soccer now? Where do they go? But you're going to cry later about crime on the street, right?
Well, they would say, oh, they could play in the gym. But guess what?
They're giving them away,
too. They're giving the gyms away, too.
So what are we going to have? Latchkey children again? Latchkey children? Latchkey children is when they have a key. That was the old school saying. I learned this in criminology. I'm sure people heard it. It's mm-hmm. when kids of the 80s, their parents, that was when divorce got really big. Divorce was big, starting off really, really big in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And single moms, single dads, mostly single moms. And the kid had to come home from school and they wore the house key around their neck on a lanyard. That's the term latchkey child. They'd get out of school and they had like dog tags, like military dog tags. They had a key underneath their t-shirt and their key was on it. And when that was, they got out of school and they were instructed, walk home from school, and they took the key and unlocked the door. That's latchkey children. Now, I thought we've grown from that with after school programs, with parks to play in, to do these organized sports, to have YMCAs and all these places for children to go and whatever, but we're giving it away to shelters. So are we going in reverse? Mm-hmm. Are we treating the migrant people, the asylum seekers, the non-citizens of America better than we treating our own people? Again, I'm not a callous person. People need help. I understand that. I get that. We are America. We are the greatest nation in the world.
Yes, we are.
We are the strongest superpower in the world. Not one nation out there can touch us if they wanted to. They might be able to do some damage here and there, but in the long run, we would annihilate them. This is fact.
Right.
Otherwise, we would be seeing them doing stuff to us.
Right.
They might be sneaky and do a 9/11 kind of garbage, Boston, the parade garbage. But are they going to make America fall? No, they're not. They're not Russia taking over Crimea. They're not Russia taking over Ukraine. They're not, countries invading. Nobody is invading the United States. Hmm. It is that. We have allies. We work with NORAD, which works with protects our airspace. We work in tandem with Canada on that. England is one of our major partners. We have a lot of partners. Now, yes, some of them don't agree with everything we believe in, but they realize at the end of the day, we are the closest to their belief system. We are the closest to their world than the others. You got to say, pick your enemy, which is worse. The enemy of your enemy is your friend. And I'm not saying, no pun to you, Prince Harry, and I'll always call you Prince Harry. I hope to call you King Harry one day, but anyway. I believe you'll be King Harry. Shout out to you, okay? But anyway, no pun to your country. I'm saying that every country has their love for their country. Nobody wants to be kissing butt to the United States.
Right.
And we're not saying, and I'm not, and I wanted to say that directly to the people that are listening since I know I'm aired there in London. We love you guys. You love us. We love you. But you are your own nation. We are our own nation. But we fight together to help each other. So I'm not by any means saying, but we're better than you. I wanted to make sure I clarified that. America is the greatest nation on the world because we have partners like you. How about that? Is that better?
That is better.
We have partners like you. And you know what? I'm going to say something to Prince Harry. Prince Harry, having been deployed overseas myself, Prince Harry is a stand-up guy, no matter what they say about him. Prince Harry put that uniform on, and he went out, and he served the country. He served in Afghanistan. He actually did the job, regardless of what people say about him. There are many people that met him and spoke with him. I said hi, shook hands, and spoke with him. And comment if you see this, all right? He's been out there. And he did not want a security detail. I can't say the same for other royals.
Hmm.
We're not going to mention names because I don't badmouth anybody.
Right.
So we're going to leave it like that. And I mean royals at any time, okay? We're not talking about any royal today. I'm saying of the royals, Prince Harry, and Princess Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle, yeah.
You have that title for life in my book, okay? So Prince Harry was on the line and did the job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some people with a big mouth that say he didn't do things. And there are those of us that saw him do things.
Yeah, he did.
There are those of us that know. It's not a part of today's conversation, but I felt, because I made a remark about England and I heard some comments about Prince Harry today, they're afraid of him becoming King Harry. I call it now. Sonati prediction. Here it is. I predict a lot.
Okay.
Sonati prediction. Congratulations, King Harry.
All right.
Moving forward on the show. What are the political implications of all of this migrant stuff going on? He's fine. Migrant stuff going on here. Now, there are political in a lot of levels, but just the basics, you know, because I don't want to run into too much time.
Okay.
We're about 5 minutes out. The local politics, you can't, if they're not checking voter ID, remember, you said it too on the show, Bianca, and that was very, very, very intelligent. And I have to say, I'm impressed with your ability sometimes on your knowledge on stuff. You pay attention to what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I noticed that.
I do.
Because you said to me, what did you say one time? Folks, your local election is probably the most important.
And
you,
it really
that's
is.
Your words. That's
yes,
your words.
It really is important.
I mean, I've said it, but it's your words. So
because it affects where I live.
Your
I mean,
local
like,
taxes, your local tax rate is decided by the local politicians. Your police department, your fire department, your garbage removal, your water, all of those essential services are offered to you
taxes.
Right there at the local level. So you have to say to yourself, that's where it's important. So if there's no voter ID, then anybody could walk in and vote. Mm-hmm. So you could theoretically, and I'm not saying anybody's doing this, but theoretically, anybody can walk in and vote. And if you're giving away extra money and it's your administration, Mayor Eric Adams, President Joe Biden, and the governor of New York, Democrats, giving away free stuff. Well, I wonder if there's no voter ID, you're giving me all kinds of free stuff. I'm not really a citizen, but nobody's checking if I am when I show up to vote. Mm-hmm. And they're doing mail-in ballots and paper ballots. So how do we know? How do we know? So is there going to be an effect locally? I suspect. Also, pay close attention. Notice every 4 years.
Okay.
Every four years, folks, there's some kind of crisis. There's some kind of race war. We had George Floyd. We had this, what they call it, the Summer of Love with BLM, Black Lives Matter. We had all that stuff going on right before the election. COVID, right before the election, right? We have, now we have the migrant, and last time they were talking about the caravan, right?
Right, right.
For elections. Now we have this going on. I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I have to ask myself why. Why do these main issues that really upset people and really raise blood pressure and either does one or two things, Miss Bianca. Either
what?
Forces more people to go and vote or people stay home.
Hmm.
And here's the problem. The people that stay home are the people that generally vote. And those are the people that make good voting decisions.
Right.
We don't
attention.
Need
yeah.
people that don't know going in and poking the button. Unfortunately, this is America. You can vote if you're a citizen.
You know, that's very interesting that you say that. You know, you got to do your research.
You have to know your candidate.
You know, you have to know your candidate. And if there's something wrong, like if you want to like talk about the topics, do your research before you even know what to do.
And don't just grab Google.
I mean, there's a lot of people that have been, not woken up, but realized.
Right,
that
I saw that, yeah.
One
who was that one that flipped over? That
I
was on Candace Owens the other day.
Amber Rose.
Amber Rose.
Yeah.
She was one.
That
was
a
shocker to me. We don't have time to get into that. Maybe we can do it on tomorrow night's show.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we are, you know.
I'm starting to respect her,
right.
to be honest.
Hey, listen,
like,
and I don't respect her because she came to one side. I respect that she made a decision on her own, and she's not afraid to speak that decision. No matter what others might feel about it. And since it's not publicly acceptable to be a Trumper or a Republican, you get
whichever
bashed.
Whichever side you want
well,
to be
obviously,
on.
You know, but it's publicly acceptable because
yes.
the guy had tremendous amount of votes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people that like him. Right. But it's publicly unacceptable to admit it.
Right. Right. But like, you know, I like the fact that when she said, like, to, I think it was her father, saying about what the news says about this elected person. And she said that, you know, she said to her father, you don't know what we're talking about, whatever. And her father said, well, why don't you do your research and see where, show me where this guy said whatever remark
it was. Find me the quote.
Find me the quote and show me, and then I'll prove to you, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's like, all right, fine, I will. I'll show you what it is.
And she couldn't find it.
She could not find it because, you know
what? And then she realized it was not. Right. You know what? And that's the problem. We are in a different world. Social media is running wild. People can just drop whatever they want on YouTube. And, you know, the YouTube plays the algorithm game, but still, it gets up on YouTube. And, it, you know, maybe not everybody can stream live because they don't have that access. Mm-hmm. But they can have a YouTube channel for their own self. And they can post what they like. And then the sad part is, the younger generation believe this. They're watching TikTok. They're watching Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and they believe everything on there is real. Now, I'm not saying it's not. Some of our shows are aired on there. We're on iHeart. We're bigger than YouTube, but we do place shows on YouTube.
Right, right.
So I'm not saying I don't come and lie to you. I might be wrong. I never say I'm right on everything. I try to be right.
No one's perfect.
You make mistakes. That's why I say, please don't bot and troll me. If you find a mistake, email in, whatever, let me know.
There you go.
So,
but the thing is, you know what's great? If you do admit that you made a mistake, own it.
Own it and don't make it again.
That's it.
I mean, hard to say because I'm the guy that does
it. Listen, I got knowledge because you know what? You always learn from your mistakes.
I got a thick skull.
And that's how you grow.
I got a thick skull. So, you know, the thick skull for me, I admit there's a problem. I make a mistake. I'm going to probably do it 2 or 3 more times. Somebody's got to kick me in the mouth, and then maybe I won't do it again. But in real life, though, if you learn your mistake, you should move forward with it.
Well, at least if you like own it and learn from it, and to not do it again, then you're good.
Now, on a positive note, moving into the quote, almost at the end of the show, there are some heart wrenching stories. We have 5 minutes, folks. We have 5 minutes.
Oh,
there are some heart wrenching stories that do make me think of migrants that really struggled to get here for that dream.
Okay.
And there are so many, I can't cover them, but there are some great stories of people with a hope and a dream, mm-hmm. and they came here. Because remember, everybody came here with a hope and a dream, unless if you're American Indian. My ancestors came here with a hope and a dream, and people made it. They made something of themselves. So I have no qualm with that. But be a productive part of society and don't commit crimes when you come to this country.
Please don't.
Nonprofits and nonprofit 501c3s and volunteers are working very hard for free to work these shelters. There are people providing legal assistance for free. I wish they'd be doing that for everybody. There's border implications across the board. There are definitely strains on other cities, not just New York. There's an all-around social impact. There's integration issues. We have people that need to learn to integrate. We are the melting pot. Whether you like the migrants here or not, folks, you have to deal with them, and they have to deal with you. So if you're a migrant and you're here, you came here seeking asylum because America's better. I wanted to say in the beginning, so many people badmouth our nation. If so-and-so's elected, I'm moving. Why are people still climbing across the border every day by the hundreds to get into this country? They're not trying to climb into Russia. They're not climbing into North Korea. They're not climbing into Syria. They're not climbing into Palestine. They're not climbing into Afghanistan. They're not climbing into Somalia. They're not climbing into Iran. I could go down the countries. They're not climbing into any of those, but they're climbing into the United States. So we have to respect the broader diversity that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have a broad diversity. Let's respect that. Let's cultivate that. Let's cultivate that broader diversity. Let's take advantage of that. Let's feel that and know that. So before we go into Bianca singing Lovely to close us out, Sinati's call of action. Always stay informed. Stay engaged. Okay? Stay informed. Stay engaged. I say it every time. 365, 360. 360, your head's on a swivel. 180 is one direction. 180 is backwards. 360, your head is on a swivel. Pay attention 24 hours a day And the 365 is 365 days a week. Mm-hmm. Paying attention is not being hypervigilant. You're not paranoid. You're not hypervigilant. You're conscious of your surroundings and you're engaged in your community. Stay engaged. Have a voice. Numbers. Strength in numbers. Advocate for a better life for yourself and for those around you. Advocate for compassion and effective policies. Advocate for effective policies and advocate your local system to support you in getting the things we need. Our closing quote is going to be, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men, and that's the quote, I didn't just say men, it's there, it's included. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. What do you think of that, Ms. Bianca? Good men to do nothing.
I agree with that.
When good men do nothing.
It's a good quote.
Right? All right, Ms. Bianca, take it away.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Wow, Miss Bianca, you blew that away as usual. Folks, don't go anywhere. The Hostile Zone's coming at you every night on your FM dial, on your favorite podcast, social media. Don't go anywhere. Shout out to my producer. Have a good night. Check us out.